welcome to the Ritual Misery Podcast, episode beta 71 for Friday, the 4th of March, 2016. This is a show where two lifelong friends talk about geek stuff and whatever else comes to mind. I'm Amos from my house, and that guy over there, that's Kent, along with a couple of buddies.
Hey, man, how's it going? It's nice to see you in your house. That's pretty awesome.
I'm in the creation center of Ritual Misery. I'm here in my garage, and it is, here, I'll do a quick pan. It is as messy as it wants to be.
Oh, wow. Like, I think it's even messier than when I was there last.
Yeah, there's, oh my God. Not that I kept a clean garage, but since I've been gone, holy shit.
But we are not alone.
We are not.
We have Edgar and Adolfo from Lienzo.
Hello.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having us again.
Yeah. So it's awesome. So we talked about this a little bit last week, but 1 year ago, almost exactly, I met Mr. Edgar Serrano at South by Southwest in Austin. He really got me excited about the game that they're developing, Mulaka. And that's what I brought these guys on to talk about. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. How's your guys' week been?
Busy. Fine.
Busy?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, at this point of the game development, I'm sure every week is a busy week.
Definitely. Yeah, absolutely. But very fun, really. I mean, as we were talking before, beginning the live stream, it's been very fun, very exciting. It's a new venture for us, and yeah, my life couldn't be, it hasn't been any more exciting at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly believe like we're in the calm before the storm thing. Like we're literally waiting for the shit to hit the fan.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
We can have another podcast, and you ask us how we're doing, because right now it's like the second month of development. Right around where we're nearing like the final stages, we're going to be like pulling our hair out, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt.
So what you're saying is 1 week from now, you're going to come back on and we'll talk. Oh, man.
Yeah. But unfortunately, you guys aren't going to make it to South By this year, are you?
No.
Nope.
Yeah. Maybe next year. Hopefully next year you guys will come to South By and have a new game to promote.
That's the plan. That's fine.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Perfect. Perfect.
That'd be bitching. So, Kent, how's your week been, man? It's been kind of a crazy week all around. So how's it been?
Yeah. For me, it's been, well, pretty standard for me, actually. Really busy at work. Yeah. And what we've been doing this week, you and me both, is getting ready for next week, South by Southwest.
Yeah.
Trying to coordinate things, get travel plans together, get meetup plans together. Coordinating with other people that we know are going to be there. Mm-hmm. It's been a pretty jam packed week, and I am so excited that it's Friday and it's Ritual Misery Podcast time.
Yeah.
So it's always a highlight.
This could very well be our last, I'm not making any promises, but this could be our last podcast never having done a live show.
That is a very strong possibility.
Yeah.
Which is super exciting in itself.
If we can get the pieces put together, we will be streaming our show live next weekend from South by Southwest. So that's
what
we're
aiming.
Super excited.
So as far as my week goes, man, I've been prepping the trailer, getting it ready to go, because we'll be crashing that for the weekend when we're down there. A lot of stuff, getting stuff done around the house, getting ready for the big move this summer, hanging out with my daughter, because she is just... She is all daddy's girl right now. And
awesome.
Oh, my dog died on Monday. Or Tuesday. Tuesday.
Damn.
Yeah, that's it's really unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's weird. My grandma's dog died yesterday.
Yeah.
Mother's dog, yeah.
So Sam was about not quite 2 years old, and it was not an expected thing, and he is sorely missed. So on to happier stuff. So we have lots of stuff to talk about this week, actually. Kent, you finished Breaking Bad. Like, what the hell, man? Finally, you finally finished Breaking Bad.
Oh, yes. Okay, so... Have you got... Okay, Edgar and Adolfo, have you seen Breaking Bad, the television series?
Yeah, of course.
Not me, to be honest.
Not you.
Oh.
Not me.
Because you need.
Yeah, I mean,
you need to make that happen.
This. Yeah, I've been told this many times over.
It is so good, like, man. I started watching it probably, I don't know, 6 months ago, something like that. It was towards the end of the summer last year, and I've been fairly steadily, you know, watching an episode or two a week, something like that. And I got to the final season, season 5, and it was a marathon. I watched as many episodes as I could at a time until I was done. Those last 3 or 4 episodes are insane.
Yeah.
How have you navigated the internet, like line mine internet, from spoilers all this time?
Okay, so the only spoilers that I really got, I guess, were like memes and things like that from, I don't know, when did the show end? Like 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that. So, but I never really understood them. Now I knew that Walter White died because the press car, because I live in New Mexico, only like 3.5 hours away from Albuquerque, which is where the show is set. Well, the people of Albuquerque, well, the super fans that live in Albuquerque,
the 4 people in Albuquerque, that,
yeah, right. Now, Albuquerque is actually a fairly sizable city. They staged a mock funeral for Walter White. And did a whole thing. They had a memorial service, a graveside thing, the whole thing. They took an obituary out in the paper, the whole thing. And that was big news around here. And of course, I heard about it. Ultimately, he would not survive the series.
Was it more of a funeral for Walter White, or a funeral for the hopes of Albuquerque ever getting attention on TV again?
Probably both, actually.
Like, oh, there's our 15 minutes. It's over. We got to do something now.
Yeah, but then I saw, like, you know, a few years back, I saw the you know, pizza on the roof memes and things like that. But you know, no point of reference, and I didn't know what it was about.
So,
but really, that's not a spoiler. Like, a pizza on the roof is not in any way, shape, or form a spoiler.
So what'd you think? What'd you think of the ending of the show? How it ended and where it ended?
To me, it was satisfying. A lot of people, I guess, have a problem with how neat of a package that it ended up with. Mm-hmm. But I was happy with it. I don't know if you guys watched Dexter. But a lot of people were pissed about that one because it was like a too convenient, not possible kind of ending to the show. A lot of people were pissed off about The Sopranos because it was a non-ending. this one, I was really satisfied with the ending of this series.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, it's really cool. And I mean, you can go down a really deep rabbit hole with that one, with like conspiracy theories and stuff like that. I just feel that. With a lot of shows, it's really hard to keep it that good for that long. Maybe that's why they only have like 10 episodes of Game of Thrones per season, and they're like a year apart.
Right. Yeah.
That with like a 20 episode season, that's really hard to pull off. I mean, and like we are some like whiny bitches when it comes to our entertainment.
Yeah. Really, absolutely. Yeah, we absolutely are.
So I actually thought that the way that Breaking Bad ended was, it was a nice, neat package. But that's the first time in the entire five plus years or whatever that show that there was ever a nice, neat package of anything. Like, that show is just chaos all the way through. And for it to end in a nice, neat package is kind of a, all right, finally, something's working out.
Exactly. Yeah, it was nice.
So, all right. Dude, we have been playing our asses off for South By.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We have nothing to show for it right now, but we've been playing our asses off.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I mean, we'll announce some things at the end. None of it's going to be new information, but it's maybe the first time everybody's heard it all in one place.
Right.
So we'll do that rundown. We'll do that at the end of the show.
Okay.
So what was your geeky thing of the week, Amos?
Oh, okay. So here you go. Here's my geeky thing of the week. the trailer. Yeah, not so geeky, right? But we have a new truck. We have not towed this trailer with this truck. So doing the weight and balance equivalent, you know, making sure that the weight distribution hitch and making sure the ride heights and everything else are all correct. I spent the last 2 days doing all that and making sure that we had a good mode of transportation and being safe and everything else. So that's it's not a lot of math, but it's a lot of numbers and a lot of wrenching around. So, you know, maybe some man geek stuff there, but yeah,
right.
Definitely
right.
The geeky thing of the week for me.
Cool. Edgar, what about you, man?
Oh, it's been, I can actually show you guys. Look, it's been so really awesome that now we have like salaries. Cause now I'm not sure if you can see it, but I got this baby.
Nice.
And oh, awesome. Yeah.
Finally, a place to pull all my stickers. And I was just telling Adolfo today, I feel really weird that it's the fifth week of salaries. We get paid every Friday. And that's a really hard thing to get. Like every Friday getting money, it means that you can spend almost all your money all up until Wednesday because you think, oh, just another day and I'll get paid again. So whatever. So I feel really weird that there's nothing on my Amazon account being sent to me right now. Because for the last month and a half, there's always been something pending. I, of course, have a budget. But I've been...
No, you really don't.
Yeah. I think it's just a hype. I mean, I'll get over it with soon. Right now, I have more than I can handle, like time wise, you know.
Right, right.
So yeah, that's been it. And oh, something really cool. Here in Chihuahua, I don't know if you guys know what the Mighty Mug is.
The Mighty Mug.
Yeah, Mighty Mug. It's this thing. I'm sorry for the plug, but it's like this mug for like hot beverages, and it doesn't fall off if you push it or like bump into it, because it has sort of it's not a suction cup, but it's sort of a suction cup, and like you put it in a flat surface and it doesn't fall over. You have to like lift it up, and I saw it on Kickstarter like 2 years ago, and then I told one of our animators, and he told me, oh, it's in Office Depot right now, you can go and get it. And I've been waiting like for so long, and then I finally got it. And then I got here in my house, and my mom's boyfriend was here, and it was his birthday. And he saw me walking in with the box, and he was sort of like, oh, shit. Look what I got you, you know? Get to use it, but I was really...
So now you got to go back and get another one.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that was me. I don't know, Adolfo.
Well, I mean, besides my job and me playing The Witcher 3 every single night... after work, I mean, I'm more financially intelligent than Edgar is, so I've been saving all my money until this week I got this like a weird moment of like a shopping spree, like a sudden 5 minute shopping spree, and I spent like a lot on Amazon as well. And I mean, I bought some like games and stuff like that, but like in terms of geeky and weird stuff, man, it's kind of embarrassing. But I bought some amiibos, like Nintendo amiibos.
Ah, okay.
The Wooly amiibos, and I don't know. I bought them, and the moment I was buying them, I was thinking like, what am I doing this really? Like, what do I need them for? Like, what am I doing with my life?
Moment of insanity.
Yeah, but like I was thinking about this, and at the same time I was doing the checkout, and I didn't care. And now and today, in fact, I got an email that they've been sent to me. it's so weird, but yeah, I mean, in terms of geeky stuff, like basically my life is an entire dose of geekness right now, really. Because yeah, I mean,
you guys. I'm sorry, you guys don't realize how awesome it is and dangerous, because up until maybe a month ago or 2 months ago, we didn't have Amazon over here in Mexico.
Oh, so I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
oh.
We got Amazon on June or July last year.
Oh, wow.
Amazon in Mexico. Yeah. So Amazon. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
If you wanted to buy stuff, you had to like order it. I mean, you wanted to buy stuff online, you had to go like to a specific store, you know, like maybe they sell t-shirts and you go to their store. And if you wanted to buy something off eBay or Amazon, then you had to send it. Maybe a lot of stores didn't even sell if you were living in Mexico or any other place that's not United States or Canada. But a lot of places, like, they do sell, but they charge, like,
a lot of import. Yeah, import fees. Yeah. Like, were crazy.
Oh, yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, and since we got Amazon Mexico, all the prices for almost everything, especially gaming stuff in Amazon Mexico, are just so way, way cheaper than any other store, any other option that we got in Mexico. And I'm talking, like, at least, like, 50 to 80% lower than any other store in the country. I don't know how they do this, and I thought that it was only something for the first or a second week of the store opening in the country. But no, it's still up right now, and it's still very cheap to buy stuff on Amazon. So yeah, the moment that we got money, especially Edgar, like, he went crazy and spending all of it and getting. I mean, we've got a value out of it, definitely, through the Amazon in Mexico. But
wow.
But especially cool. Yeah, for geeky stuff and this kind of things, it's great, really.
So, can you guys tell us, just, I mean, talking about the game and talking about the, you know, development process and trying to find funding and things like that, you know, tell us some of the biggest lessons you've learned along the way as far as the whole process goes.
Yeah, like with Kickstarter and like the other ways that you had to go about trying to raise money for the game.
It's been really crazy because I'm as I'm sure most of you know, Kickstarter didn't work on the surface of it. Like, we didn't get the money. What we did get was a lot of attention.
A lot of marketing, definitely. Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
We got like national attention, like national newspapers and like TV stations, and because TV is still big over here, and like we got a lot of attention. We got invited to like a lot of like international conferences and like big name things over here in Mexico because of the Kickstarter. A lot of people, I don't know why, they believed that we were already doing it. A lot of people ask us where they can play it because they think it's already done. But for better or for worse, we got like a lot of eyes on us, and that's what started us on the road that eventually led us to being funded right now. And I mean, a lot of that, the Kickstarter page is still up. If you Google Mulaka, you're going to see it, and you can see that we're not funded, but you can see all the game. And actually the game that we were talking about when we did the Kickstarter and the game that we're working on now, it's really different. I mean, it's the same theme. It's the same story. But a lot of things changed because learned.
Yeah, the mechanics-wise, yeah, the game has evolved in many ways. But in terms of its concept, in terms of even its genre, it stayed basically the same. Like, a few months down the line, when we will eventually do an unveiling of a first trailer or a demo or whatever, it would not be very much different from what you are really expecting at all. But because we got to follow a line with a concept that we were showing, right, since last year. But definitely, yeah, the game has evolved a lot. And I think it has evolved in a very, very good good sense, in a very good way. Because right now, having like a budget and having like a deadline, right? Especially a deadline, because the project was invested. I mean, if people invested in the project, this means that we now have to be more focused on like and keep in line what we really want to do. Mm-hmm. And this is helping a lot the project in a very good sense, because we're making like in a week or two, we're making a lot more progress than we could achieve last year in 2 or 3 months, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. How many people do you have on your team right now?
Seven people.
Oh, yeah. But we have two interns though.
Oh, interns are awesome.
Yeah.
I wish Ritual Misery had an intern. hey, movie man Lucas.
There you go.
Yeah, but we're basically 7 people and 3 musicians, but the musicians are working on a they're like on a freelance model. Is that how you call it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so but on the studio, like physically on the studio with like sitting down and working on the project, we are only 7 people right now. Mm. And I think that the only 7 people in this almost a million population city, that only 7 people are actually making a game and getting paid for it. And that's us. And that's, I mean, every time I think of it and I realize that, man, it's kind of overwhelming, to be perfectly honest with you. But it's also very, very, it's very motivating for me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah, that's really cool. It's a cool position to be in. And you actually, in the pre-show, you were talking a little bit about it, that it's scary yet exciting at the same time. And
I believe it grounded us. Like now having the funding, we now have to really dedicate like 9 hours. We now have to, you know, as Adolfo was saying, we have a time window and we have to like really deliver everything like within a schedule, and we have to everything to be planned out, and we have to like look for the best way to make a game really on the industry, not just like mishmashing things together. It's been really awesome. It's been really awesome as a learning process. One of the programmers told me, like, we might have had like a master's degree, you know, all these 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm sure there's not a school in the world that can teach me all the things I've learned.
Oh, and absolutely.
Not only like gaming wise as a designer, but also like business wise and all that stuff. Like I couldn't have learned that from any other way other than this, like stomping against doors and people telling me no and all of that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, like I mentioned, I met you at South by Southwest last year, Edgar, and you were an amazing ambassador for the game. You got me excited about it. And the thing that really fascinated me was the type of game that it is. It's something that I have never heard of before, and I think the audience would love to hear. What is Moolaka?
Okay, so Moolaka, it's basically a game about the Rarámuri tribe. The Rarámuri tribe, or the Tarahumara tribe, it's an indigenous people tribe who still lives in Chihuahua. I mean, you can... If you step out the street, you see them over here all the time, all the way. They come from the Chihuahua Sierra or the Tarahumara Sierra, which is like the biggest tourist spot in northern Mexico. We have the Copper Canyon or Barrancas del Cobre, and we have the Pasasiachi Waterfall. And they are world-renowned for their running ability. They're like long distance runners. And actually the first time I heard about this was in a book made by an American called Born to Run. I'm slipping on the author's name. But anyway, I wanted to, because I'm a scout, so I've known a little bit more about their culture than the average people. The average guy from the city who watches them just thinks of them as vagrants or like people who don't have jobs and they just want to live off the government or whatever. And it's really not at all that simple. For starters, they don't have a concept like in their culture, they can't understand the term of possessing something. So they can't own like property or money or whatever. You hear a lot of times when they approach you, they tell you, they say korima. Korima means share, like to share. And people misrepresent that as like, give me money, you know? But the korima, which actually is a mechanic in our game, it's like karma. It's like sharing stuff. But I'm getting off the tracks here. What I wanted to do with this game was to tell people how awesome this culture is, which they don't have no idea about. I've said this 1,000 times and I'll keep saying it, but the same thing happened with ninjas and samurais and like Apaches and like these awesome cultures that get you really excited. Like if you hear ninja, you automatically think of like cool stuff. If you hear pirates, you think of cool stuff. You know, if you hear like samurais or Spartans, and that has happened because Hollywood or just media creators have used them to make stuff. And nobody has used the Mexican cultures to make stuff other than Mel Gibson and like chopping off babies' heads and stuff, you know? And I firmly believe, actually, I gave a TED talk about half a year ago about this. I actually believe that we can exploit, in the best sense of the word, we can exploit all these cultures. And at the same time that we are creating new and awesome, cool stuff to explore, we can like help preserve them. And that's the pipe dream I have about Mulaga.
Yeah. And you told me a more condensed version of this last year in Austin. And that's what got me excited, though. Your enthusiasm was infectious. And I was like, oh my gosh, tell me more. And that's when you started like, here's my business card. Just look it up. But we were fortunate enough to keep in contact with each other, and we've been talking off and on throughout the year, and finally I got you on the show. But no, that's awesome. What kind of game actually is it? Is it an RPG? Is it an adventure game? Is it a puzzle solving game? What is the game actually like?
So it's basically an adventure game with some RPG elements, a little bit of platforming here. But if I have to really put it in a genre, I would say it's shaping up to be more an action-adventure game, like a third-person action-adventure game. Yeah, with some platforming, some RPG stuff here and there. A lot of inspiration from games like, for instance, like The Witcher and stuff like that. But, I mean, of course, in a smaller scale because it's an indie title, right? But, yeah, it's definitely an action-adventure game that its main focus is at learning about these amazing people through the exploring it and seeing these beautiful sights of the Sierra and all the locations that we are trying to recreate to put into the game, and through combat, absolutely.
Nice. Yeah.
There's a lot of questions that I'm not allowed to answer. I'm doing air quotes here because like, I get carried away really fast and really hard. And we have our lead programmer, whose name is also Adolfo, and we use this as an inside joke a lot. I make the design of the game, and then before I even tell the team, I have to first talk to him so he can ground me and tell me, no, this is impossible. We only have 7 people, not 700 people. No, we cannot use VR yet. No, we cannot use like holograms and stuff like that. No,
right.
So there's stuff. I've learned that it's best if I let other people talk, because then people are going to believe that we are actually making this AAA awesomely huge project, which is my dream, but it's actually not like that. No.
So now the culture that's featured in the game, it's the Rarámuri. What are they called?
Yeah, it's Rarámuri or Tarahumara.
Okay, right.
Rarámuri is their real name. And then Tarahumara is a name that the conquistadors and the people, the Jesuits who came here, gave them or named them.
Okay. So you can find them either way. Now, do you have future plans or a dream, I guess, at this point, or a goal to, after this game is successful, do you want to feature other cultures in future games? Yep. Awesome.
Yeah, actually, part of the deal or the reason why we got funded was actually this long-term vision. It was kind of strange because we got partly funded by a federal program, which is in charge of preserving exactly this, like cultures, but nationwide. And then in order for them to give us that partial fund, they had to believe that we were going to get the rest of the money from another guy. And this other guy had to believe that the government thing was going to support us. So how we convinced the government guys were that it's actually, I could tell you all about it. It's a fund called Yoreme, and it's mainly three states. So it's Chihuahua, which is the biggest one and the one we live in. Sonora, which is just southwest.
To the west of Chihuahua.
Okay, just west, and then Sinaloa,
to the south of Arizona, to the south of the state of Arizona.
Okay.
So they all share this fund, and the way that we hooked them was that, you know, this year we're gonna do Mulaka, next year we're gonna do another one for another state, and then the year after that for the third state. And what's actually really cool is that all of these states share the same tribes and actually made a lot of contact with the Apaches from like Arizona and New Mexico and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So again, the dream is to be able to like encompass all of these cultures, you know, in those games. We still don't know what type of game is going to be. We still don't know if it's going to come right after Mulaka. There's a lot of stuff we don't know, but the plan is to eventually make at least three games like these.
Right. Awesome. Right? Awesome. Yeah. So Movie Man Lucas in the chat is wondering, his question was, what time period does this game take place? But I will add on to that. Is it in fact a depicting historical events or what? What is it actually depicting and when?
Oh, that's awesome. Because, yeah. Oh, wait. This game, the time period, it's way before the Jesuits got here. Because once the Jesuits got here, there was a lot of mixture of cultures. So a lot of like myths and legends get intertwined with the ones from Europe and stuff like that.
Sure.
And then this happens with all the tribes. I mean, all of them. And then you don't get like the pure thing, you know? And then you get a lot of like crosses and like Jesus things and stuff, which even now, if you talk to a lot of Raramuris now, they believe that's their story, but actually no. And right. We get a lot of help, and I would love to plug this in, of Enrique Servín. We tweeted, I believe we tweeted and Facebooked his book.
Today. That was today. We put up a picture of him.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
His book just won the International Myth and Legend Prize something thingy important.
I love how you're so well right there about that.
I mean, it is a big deal. It is a big deal, but I don't remember the name. But anyway, we connected. We clicked so good and so well with him because he is like, he's not a gamer, but he's the most, the nearest person we found to a gamer that actually is an expert on all these cultures.
Yeah, I mean, he's a cultural genius, but like, it's mind-blowing like how much he knows about this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's been very supportive of our
like
project.
Seven languages. Yeah, he speaks like seven languages. And, well, I mean, aside from that, the time period is actually the sixth version of the world, which is like 200 years before the discovery of America, more or less. And we're sticking to historical facts, yes, as much as we can. But there's a lot of leeway. Because just in La Sierra, there's five different dialects that are currently spoken. And they actually kind of break down into five different like cultures within Raramuri culture, and they have like different versions of stuff that happened. Wow. So no one really knows exactly, but one can tell like, okay, these things are similar. So that works a lot in our advantage, and I really hope that it keeps doing so for the next games, because we can just say, okay, what works best for a game is this version. And what works best for this game or this part of the game is this other version. And no one can tell us that that's not true because nobody really knows.
And right.
Another thing that's awesome with that is that there's no visual depiction of a lot of stuff. So we know there were giants in the Sierra. That's all we know. we don't know the color of the Giants or the physical appearance of the Giants or how they moved or whatever. So we get to create that, you know, and we're not really telling lies because nobody knows. So that's really fun. I hope that answered the question.
Are you, yeah. And to build on that, are you also adding in like some of the mythological aspects, like, you know, well, you mentioned giants. When you're talking about giants, are you talking about like actual, like, large people that actually existed, or is this a mythological, like a monster,
like a type thing, a Titans equivalent from the Greek mythology?
Yeah, that's really interesting. They're called in Rarámuri culture, they're called Ganokos or Gano, and they are. Some people tell us that they're stone giants. Some people tell us that they're actually like trees, like the Ents of Lord of the Rings. And some people say that they helped the Rarámuris. Some people, and like, they helped them reap their like corn and stuff, and then they got their payment by eating their children. And some people say that they often entertain themselves by throwing rocks great distances and then crushing like villages and stuff like that. So their role in the Rarámuri tribe, it's really impartial from like good and evil. You know, they're just like forces of nature, and if you found them on their good side, then they're good. If you found them on their bad side, then they're bad. Mm. In terms of the game, I most likely can maybe tell you they're going to be like monsters, enemies type of deal. And yeah, so yeah, they're mythological.
Yeah, so okay, summarizing giants as in monsters and not people, definitely. Have you guys played, for instance, maybe this is a good comparison in terms of their design. Have you played the original Metroid Prime game?
Metroid Prime, yeah.
Yeah, you remember there was a boss fight in a Fendrana Drift. I think that was the snowy area, mm-hmm. like a rock monster that called Tardos, like a big one.
Right.
Yeah, that's basically like a very similar thing to that.
Okay. Awesome.
They're very similar to that.
Hmm.
I dig it. The more I hear about this game, the more I want to play it.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you give us an idea of a timeline of when you were mentioning trailers, a demo, like a playable demo, release times maybe? What sort of a timeline can you reveal to us?
Okay, so about the trailer, I think we should be you will be able to see a full-fledged trailer later by the end of the summer, or maybe during the beginning of fall this year. Okay. I'm guessing by something like August, September. I'm pointing forward to like a small trailer, just a small new something to show up. But we will be unveiling stuff in forms of pictures and small video clips during the upcoming months, and the game, you should be able to play it next year during the first half of next year, of 2017.
Okay, so maybe you will bring a playable demo to South by next year.
Yeah, that's definitely a possibility. Actually, we're thinking of bringing a playable demo of the game before during this year, but I cannot disclose much information about that, because we haven't confirmed anything. But yeah, we're planning to attend a few events here and there during the later half of 2016. So as soon as we have something on that, we should be letting you know.
Awesome. Yeah. And how can people find out about this? Like, if they're like, oh my God, this game sounds awesome, I want to know more about it, how can I stay updated?
So we got a lot of social media sites. We're on Facebook, facebook.com/LienzoMexico. We're on Twitter and Instagram at LienzoMX. We're on Tumblr at LienzoMX.tumblr.com. We're on YouTube. It's youtube.com/LienzoOfficial. Am I missing anyone? No, we're on Twitch as well, but to be honest, I don't remember our username on Twitch, because it's a brand new thing. And we also got a mailing list. If you want to be a part of our mailing list, you can send an email right away to hola, it's hello in Spanish, hola at lienzo.mx, and we can add you to our mailing list at any time. Or if you prefer, I mean, we are on almost every social media known to mankind right now. So
right. So could I just go to lienzo.mx and find links to these things?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Excellent. Very cool. Yeah. I really like the website. Did your team design the website, or did you have someone else make that for you?
Oh, us. We did. I mean, not Edgar and I, but yeah, someone, some of our co-workers on the team, they made the website.
Well, it is, to me, and this is, it hasn't changed much over the last year as far as design. But even a year ago, I was looking at this site, and I was like, this is a beautiful site. It's one of the most, I don't want to say innovative, but it's one of the more, I guess, unique looking sites that I've ever seen. I really dig the layout of it. It's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. They took it as the guys took it as a personal challenge, because I was talking about like outsourcing the work to somebody else. Yeah. And they told, because they always badger people who are artists but only do websites, because right. They're like, that's the lowest of food chain, you know? And I told them, well, I'm going to have to hire somebody. And they're like, no, don't you dare. I'll do the best website, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, they went ahead and did it out of like spite, I think, which was
that was Adolfo, right? The other Adolfo on the team? Yeah, yeah, that was him. Yeah, that totally sounds like him. Definitely. But because, yeah, I mean, thanks a lot for the compliment. I should be letting him know tomorrow about this.
Yeah, because he had a corporate, like real corporate job before this. And we got a lot of offers, not a lot of offers, but we often get like people calling us, oh, can you do my website, or can you do my, can you manage my Facebook thing and stuff? And he gets really mad. Designers, we're not gonna scoop that low and blah blah blah. He's like, he has a real problem with getting paid, I guess.
yeah you gotta hate getting paid, right?
I mean, it's just more to do with the fact that, well, he's very busy, especially now with the project, right?
Yep.
And especially because we got two projects on top of us. It's Mulak, and we have another game coming out on this summer called Hunter's Legacy, a 2D action platformer coming to Steam. And yeah, I mean, we're busy with that one as well. That game right now is on a debugging phase. We're just polishing the game for some more testing and then later for release. So yeah, I don't think it's the fact that he doesn't want to get paid, but the fact that man, like, he wants to have time for at least some eating and living, basically.
Right, and spending the money that he's making.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. So what else do you have? Do you have any like last words of, you know, anything to get us excited about Mulaka or any of the other projects that Lienzo is a part of?
Oh, definitely. Please check out Hunter's Legacy on Steam. It's been already greenlit, and we're going to release, Adolfo was saying, we're going to release it in the summer. But you can just get on it and like subscribe to the mailing list. We'll let you know when you can buy it.
And maybe we'll be releasing a free demo of the game before it's released, so you can try it out.
Awesome.
And we're still thinking this through, but we want to do some things with Twitch, like stream our maybe some meetings or stuff like that, so you can actually see the process and really find out that we don't actually have idea what we're doing. But in the meantime, maybe like us a little bit more and maybe get the game when it goes out.
I got to tell you, not knowing what the hell's going on when you're in the middle of something is, that's exactly what me and Kent are experts at.
Yeah, we're 71 episodes in to not knowing what the hell we're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a thing I found out because when I was like a kid, I'm like, oh yeah, when I'm a grown up, I'll figure everything out. And then you're a grown up and you realize that nobody really knows. But you tell somebody, I know what's going on. Do you? Yeah, of course. I was just asking you if you know, and that's the deal with everyone.
Everything. Absolutely, that is so true.
I remember during one of the first weeks of this year working on the project, I remember just one day, one afternoon on the office, I approached Edgar, in fact, and like speaking like slowly, like I didn't want anyone to hear me, and I told him like, "Hey man, hey dude, like for real, like don't lie, like do you really know what the fuck we're doing?" I remember like, told Edgar like that, and he was just on his computer like, I don't know, like looking at Amazon or Facebook. I don't remember what he was doing.
Hard work.
Yeah, hard work. And he turns to me like with like, "Of course not, man. Like, of course not." And yeah, I mean, it's been a lot of learning and learning stuff. And yeah, I mean, you realize that you really don't know shit. Like absolutely nothing. And it's been a lot of learning. I think I'm kind of by this point getting the grip out of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
well, that's one of the beautiful things. You try something new and you don't know what the hell you're doing, but you just absorb everything. You just learn as much as you can, and eventually you realize one day, like, "Oh shit, I did that. And I was actually kind of good at it. Oh man, let's do it again."
Yeah, yeah. Usually you realize that as soon as you're not doing it anymore. Like,
yeah, exactly. Then you move on to something else. You suck at it, and then you have to learn something else.
So awesome, guys.
Go ahead, Edgar.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just gonna add that what I'm certain that you do need is kind of a compass of sorts. Like, we have one objective, which is to ultimately make a game about Raramuri. How we're gonna do it, I have no clue. But once we do it, then we're gonna say, "Oh yeah, we knew all the time what we were doing." Of course.
Absolutely. Well,
One last thing I'd like to add before jumping over to another topic or whatever you guys have planned. Like, sort of going into your point of what can we tell people to get excited about the game, definitely I want to put on the spotlight the team's passion for this, definitely. Because everybody at the Leinster right now, I mean, we can all jump. I mean, we're getting paid, but we can definitely jump to another boat and get a better pay, maybe even some better conditions in terms of the amount of work and stuff. But we are not doing this because we're not doing that. I mean, because we want to make this. Like, we really want to make Mulaka. We really want to get Hunter's Legacy out. We feel proud of these projects. And I don't think we've ever, I mean, personally for me, I've never done something that I've been more proud of, I think so, than this. And it's been just a few weeks into production, into a real production of Mulaka. And yeah, the whole team is making my job very easy in a sense, because everybody wants to make this. So I'm not like having to put pressure on anyone, because everybody just does this naturally, right? And I think I'm a firm believer that when you do something out of love, out of passion, there's no way it can go awfully wrong, right? And I think that we can definitely see this on the final products. And speaking as unbiased as I can, what I played, for instance, of Hunter's Legacy, which is on a beta stage right now, it's rather good. It's a very good game. And I'm the kind of person that likes to destroy video games, because I love them so much, but I also kind of like break them apart, because I'm very demanding out of them. And really, man, I can see the passion that these guys are putting into the programming team and the art team that they're putting into the project. And I think that just by going by that, there's a reason to be excited for both of these titles and whatever we are making into the future, both in the Hunter's Legacy line or the Origin Tribes line for other indigenous tribes video games.
Yeah, that is awesome. I mean, you hit the nail on the head when you said that love and passion, really contributes to it. That is the key. If you have a team full of passionate people, I mean, how can you fail? It's going to be a success. So I wish you guys the very, very best of luck on this and all of your projects, because I'm excited about it. I've been excited for a year about it, and I'm still excited about it. So you guys are absolutely welcome to come back on the show anytime that you want to promote or
update or
anything. If you got something new to announce, I would love to have the scoop on Ritual Misery, be the first to tell the world about something new. But you guys are welcome. Yeah. You guys are welcome back anytime.
Thank you so much. It means a lot. It's an honor. And really, looking at the support from guys like you and from the community, like at the least every day or so, we do get an email, a random email from a random guy that wants to help us or just tell us that he or she supports us and that we are. I remember last week we got an email from a guy. I don't remember his name, but he basically told us that we are an inspiration for an entire community of gamers in the country, that being told that making games is impossible in this place. So, and guys like you that are having us on their shows, on their websites, on their wanting to spread the word about our the stuff that we are doing. This is mind blowing. And I really can. The only thing I can do at the moment is just thank you. And and we will. I promise that we will make it worth your while. And make awesome. the best game that we can.
Tell you what, man, I really wish we got some of those emails saying, keep going.
you will eventually.
A little bit of fan support, man. Yeah. That'd be amazing. So, speaking of high passion and still not knowing what the fuck you're doing, we got some shit lined up this coming weekend, dude. What's going on, man? Give us a scoop.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so South by Southwest, or as our tour de force, I guess, comes with the Diamond Club. The reason we're going to Austin for South by Southwest is South by So Wasted, which is pretty much the Diamond Club event of the year.
Yeah.
There's several things, there's things at Dragon Con and there's things at Nerdtacular, not this year, but, that's just because Nerdtacular is not happening. But throughout the year, there's a couple of Diamond Club events, but South By in Austin that's the one. If you're going to go to one, this is the one. So there's a lot of things going on. The first major event that's been announced so far is actually going to be before you and I get there, and that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But it's Justin Robert Young, as everyone in Diamond Club knows, came out with a card game called The Contender. Hell of a fun card game. He is doing a card caucus for The Contender, and it's basically this particular project that he's doing, or I guess event. I don't know what you would call it. It's a 50-state card caucus. He wants to have a public game in all 50 states, and the Texas one is happening in Austin on Wednesday, the 9th of March, and it starts at 6 o'clock. I'm not sure how long it's going to go. It probably just goes until it's done. But that's going to be at the Hideout Coffee House, 617 Congress Avenue. Now, I just found out something interesting yesterday. I fly in on Friday, and you drive in on Friday.
A couple hours later, yes.
Yeah, and I learned that somebody else is arriving the same day as us.
Well, here's the thing. At South by Southwest, there's not nearly enough traffic. There are plenty of ways to get to anywhere you want, and there's never any problems with transportation in any way, shape, or form. So,
okay, lie. Okay, everything Amos just said is a lie. Austin is a very traffic congested city. Put a festival, a gigantic international festival
dab in the middle of downtown,
right in the middle of it, and that you're just going to congest the hell out of an already congested
system. I've heard that the Obamas are going to be at the show, right?
That's exactly what I was getting at. That you take all of that congestion for Austin and then put South By in it, add that congestion, and now
you got blockades.
The president of the United States in that mess.
Yeah.
We're going to be closing streets and blocking traffic and redirecting this and that.
Wow.
I hope I get there early enough.
I'm glad the streets are closed. I'm glad I'm not an Uber driver.
Yeah. Oh. Hey, but at least if you're an Uber driver, at least you're getting paid.
Mm.
So yeah. So that's gonna be Friday.
Yeah. also on Friday, we are having an unofficial Diamond Club meetup at Darwin's Pub on 6th Street, 223 East 6th Street. That's from 5 to 7.
More likely 5 to whenever.
Right.
The English time is 5 to 7. We've been referring to it as the unofficial Diamond Club meetup, but it's about this close to being the official Diamond Club meetup on Friday.
It's kind of like the Diamond Club pre-party is really what it is. If you're just coming in for the weekend, that's where we're going to get together and plan the rest of our weekend and see what kind of parties and everything else we all want to go to and all that stuff. So, with proper support, we'll probably be broadcasting that live on diamondclub.tv as our weekly episode.
Yeah. More to come on that. We're still working out the logistics of all of that, but that is absolutely a possibility.
And there's a couple more things, but the big show, the big thing for Diamond Club for going to South by Southwest and the official South by So Wasted will be...
I just love that so much. It's kind of like South by Southwest. It's super awesome.
Yeah.
Night Attack Live.
Yeah, which the acronym that we're using, just to make it, because Austin Night Attack Live, that's a whole lot to say. So we just break it down into the letters. A-N-A-L will be happening on Saturday. And that's gonna be from from 2 to 5
at the Brew Exchange
on Saturday. Yeah, at the Brew Exchange. Man, have you looked up the website for the Brew Exchange?
I have.
What a cool place, dude!
Yes, yes.
It's basically set up like the stock exchange,
mm-hmm.
but it's beer, and the prices actually fluctuate. So the more a beer is bought, and this only applies to craft beer. So you can buy like Bud Light all you want; it's still only like $3. But a craft beer, the more of them that are purchased, the higher the price goes.
Oh, I didn't see that. That's awesome.
But at the same time, the beers that haven't been purchased recently, the price goes down.
Wow.
So they have a live ticker going around.
So what we need is a whole bunch of people ordering IPAs so that all my stouts start dropping in price. That's what I need.
We get in the IPA mood. We just have a bunch of people ordering a bunch of stouts and the IPAs. Well, actually, the way it works, though, is that it's by category. So the IPAs have their own like exchange. So the most purchased IPA goes up in price and the least purchased IPA goes down in price.
Oh,
and then
so,
the same stouts and the same with everything else.
So your shitty IPAs aren't going to affect my stouts at all. Got it.
That's such an inspired idea to mix mass alcohol consumption with finance and math. That's so awesome.
They are such a perfect pairing.
That's a super awesome concept, really.
So
let's make that here.
So Saturday that ANAL Austin Night Attack Live, obviously that's the main event. That's Brian and Justin's flagship Diamond Club show, Night Attack, and it's going to be happening for the first time ever live at South by Southwest. It's going to be a huge, awesome, fun event. They have a lot of stuff planned. It's going to be
Possum Posse is going to be there.
Oh. Yes, and surprise guests that haven't been announced yet.
Right.
Certain people, you can expect the people that are at all the live shows. You can expect Tom Merritt. You can expect Veronica Belmont.
Oh, no, Veronica Belmont is a no-go. I've already confirmed.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no, she's at every live show.
That sucks. Yeah, I confirmed with her in chat about a week ago.
Oh, man. Okay, well, it sucks, Veronica, that you're not going to be there, but there's gonna be so many Diamond Club celebrities, chat roamers. It's gonna be such a fun time.
Yep.
So yeah, I can't wait for that. So we roll from the ANAL right into Tay's Taco.
Yeah, you go from a little anal to a big taco. wait. Is that supposed to be the other way around? I'm not sure it happened.
those might, acronyms.
So somebody might misinterpret the. So on Sunday, Diamond Club's own Tay Allen.
We'll be hosting I don't know about hosting, but
sponsoring? Well, maybe not sponsoring either. Welcoming us to the event.
There you go. It's
brunch event that's going to be taking place at the Kung Fu Saloon
from 11 to 1.
Yeah.
On Sunday.
So, and it's basically the, like, I guess the final Diamond Club meetup of the weekend.
Right.
So, yeah, that's going to be going on. There is an. Oh man, I put all of this stuff in the show notes, and I did not put a link to the schedule. There's a doc out there
that
has all of these events in the schedule.
Yeah, and it's all in the there's a GroupMe out there. If you want to get in on any of this stuff, just do a quick search or look up Ritual Misery or Ethan Kane or RM_Del Noche on Twitter, and we can get you hooked up with the GroupMe. And you can find the schedule and everything else from there. So,
is all that stuff on the Diamond Club Reddit?
It is, actually. It is.
Yeah, so just go to diamondclub.reddit.com would probably be the easiest way to find all
of it. It's sticky. It's the second post on the page. So you just go there and you click the groupie and you can find out everything from right there.
And also linked on diamondclub.reddit.com, and you can just go directly to it. You can go to ritualmisery.com/swag. And there's the I'm here for the anal
t-shirts.
The official is at this point, it's basically it's the official t-shirt of Austin Night Attack Live. So these shirts are awesome. Mine's gonna be here tomorrow, I think.
Is it mine? Mine should be here probably first part of next week.
Oh man, I can't wait to get it. But if you guys are going, especially if you want one of these shirts, you need to order it like right now to get it on time.
Exactly.
So, get on that, man. Get on that anal
shirt. if someone just got on the show and is not getting what the acronym means, like, hey, I'm here for the anal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be that kind of party. So,
my God.
Oh, but also, for all of our fans, if you have a Ritual Misery t-shirt and we see you in Austin next weekend, you are getting a free drink, one from me and one from Amos, and
maybe more from Kent.
Yeah, maybe more depending on how many drinks you buy me. So basically the shirt is going to pay for itself. We would be over the moon if we saw people out in the wild wearing our t-shirt.
There you go. I'm actually cutting you guys off a little bit here to show the shirt on the video. There it is right there.
It's a great design. It's simple, straightforward, but it's really cool. It's an attractive shirt. If you buy the premium shirt, which is the one that I bought, it's a couple bucks more, but holy shit, is it comfortable. It's really well-made shirt.
There we go. So there it is right there. Austin Night Attack Live. That's on the front. And if I could hit the description to where it actually unlocks it and will show the backside, but whatever.
Yeah, that.
That's the problem with anal is you can never find the backside.
Man, sometimes you can find it, you just can't get in.
You know, it's,
he got him.
The struggle's real.
So, damn it. No, but check it out. Ritualmisery.com/swag. We've got some coffee cups, a couple different shirt designs. There's a few things on there. The anal shirts are at no markup at all.
None.
So it's at cost, but everything else on the site is exactly $1 above, $1 markup.
Mm-hmm.
So Amos and I, Ritual Misery, gets $1 for each purchase of everything except for the ANAL shirts.
Here's the other side of it for the, I'm here for the anal. So that's on the back and this is on the front, So there you go. There's a thing for the video. There you go. So
fantastic.
The Austin Night Attack Live shirts, of course, is not our logo. I just drew it up, made it look a little pretty with some other words and stuff like that. So no markup on that at all. Anything else that you buy on there is exactly $1 markup. So you get some cool swag and some nice shirts. They're actually nice shirts. And we get a dollar to help keep this show going. So that's how.
And like I said, if you wear it this next Saturday or next Friday, Saturday or Sunday, and we see you at any of these events or just out in the wild, you're going to drink for free probably. So it's going to pay for itself, maybe even more. So, because I think after two, maybe three drinks, the shirt's paid for.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
In Austin. So, yeah, so
there you go.
I am looking so forward to next weekend. We've been planning this for a really long time.
I can't wait to wake up to the sound of you punching the floor in the travel trailer because you get so drunk that you don't like gravity anymore.
That seems to happen when I'm in your presence.
That actually happened last time. We had an Airbnb and he ended up getting really hammered and punching the floor and yelling at the floor because he didn't like the gravity. So
that may or may not be accurate. I time traveled past that, so I don't really know.
It's spot on. So but yeah, really looking forward to that. We're gonna miss Edgar there, and hopefully we'll meet some other great people. We're not just gonna be there for the party. We're actually gonna hang out and check out some of the things and
absolutely
go to the Mashable party and this that. But it's a great time, and we hope to see everybody down there.
Yeah, man. It's going to be so much fun. I wish you guys could join us, Adolfo and Edgar, but hopefully next year we'll be able to hook that up. And man, this year's South By is just next week, and I'm already looking forward to next year. So, man, it's such a good time. And Edgar and Adolfo, thank you so much for coming on the show. I've been trying for a year to get Edgar to come on, and so I think the consolation prize for making me wait was that Adolfo got to come on the show also. So that's awesome. Lienzo.com for all of your stuff. We will include links to your stuff in the show notes.
Lienzo.mx, actually.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. .mx. Yes. Lienzo.mx.
You fucking American.
Well, it's all going to be the show. But yeah, I really appreciate you guys coming on, and I'm really excited about Moolaka. And what's the name of the game that's going to be on Steam?
It's Hunter's Legacy, and it should be released later this summer 2016.
Awesome. So pay attention to Steam and look for Hunter's Legacy.
Right.
Awesome.
Cool. All right, man. So Kent, where can people find you, man?
Twitter is the best place. I'm always saying something, even if I'm just saying something about a retweet. RM_Del Noche. Like I said last week, man, it's like every week I reinvent myself on there. So
you
check it out.
You reinvent your sex on there. That's what I heard. Like, you know,
my sex or myself.
I understand this is your first venture into anal.
Yeah, from week to week, you never know. You never know. So just add me on Twitter and find out what's going on there. @RM_
Are you going to be reviewing any beers next week while we're down there in Austin?
In all likelihood. Yeah. In all likelihood. And where you would find those reviews is at ratebeer.com. Just look up username Del Noche and you'll see my nearly 500 beers. Maybe that'll be what I do at South By, is hit my 500th review.
There you go. There you go. Hey, you know, you got to have goals in life. You got to stick to your goals.
Absolutely.
All right, man.
Where are you at?
Anyway? You can find me at Ethan Kane on Twitter. That's pretty much the primary place to find me. Of course, you can find the show, which is for me and Kent, at Ritual Misery. There's also other tidbits on there. Submit ideas to our subreddit. It's the most unused subreddit on Reddit. So throw some ideas in there if you got some stuff you want us to talk about or you just want to argue with us. RitualMisery.reddit.com.
Cool.
You can email us, podcast@ritualmisery.com. You can call and leave us a voicemail, 567-69-TRMPC. That's 567-698-7672. Of course, you can find all these links and more ways to support the show and give feedback at ritualmisery.com. And thank you to Kevin MacLeod for allowing us to use your music royalty-free, which is awesome. Thank you for listening. For Kent, for me, for Adolfo, for Edgar, for you, this has been your Ritual Misery Podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on the show.
See ya.
5-Minute Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Awesome.
And that's the show.